It's the morning show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent, and it's Monday at 7 o'clock. That means it's time for the State Capitol Report. Up first this morning, we've got Democratic State Senator Bob Wirch live talking about what he sees as a longtime member of the legislature who's running unopposed to November's election, and we want to hear from you. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. What do you want lawmakers to understand about your life? What do you see want them to prioritize when they are in the Capitol? 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Bob Wirch is running to once again represent District 22, and he's running unopposed. So that includes the cities of Kenosha and Racine. State Senator Wirch, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks for being here. Last night, police in Kenosha shot a black man. What we know is that the video shows a man named Jacob Blake walking away from officers trying to get into a vehicle. It shows an officer holding his shirt and then police shoot. We can count 7 gunshots. Officials say he's in serious condition. This is in your district. What do you want to say about it?
Well, it's just horrible what happened. And I keep thinking about one of my heroes who just passed away, John Lewis. And I let me stress that the answer is in nonviolence. Certainly not violence. And I just think it was horrible. I saw the film this morning of that the man being shot in the back. Seems to me that they could have used a taser, but let's wait for all the facts to come in. You know, I believe in the rule of law, and we need a thorough investigation of what happened, the events leading up to this shooting and whatever. But you know, it's just terrible, and I think we have to rededicate ourselves to peace and justice in our community. Certainly, probably review training and policy for the police, and we should not condemn all police for the actions of one individual. But this has been a very sad time for my community, and I hope that we can come together and find answers to this violence.
You talk about the rule of law and not condemning all police for some actions of one or few, and yet if we find out that this was protocol, that the police officer did everything right by the book, is that enough? Is that okay?
Well, like I say, we have to review our policies, and there will be a thorough investigation by the Attorney General. But clearly the film is a damning indictment of those individual's actions.
Senator Wirch, a release from the state's Division of Criminal Investigation says it's investigating and that it'll try to provide a report about the shooting within 30 days. Are you comfortable with that timeline?
I want it to be thorough investigation, and I don't want to rush to judgment. I want it to be a fair judgment, and so if it takes 30 days, it'll take 30 days. But this is just sad. We need a dialogue on race relations, and we need to talk to each other, and we need to do a better job here in Kenosha and throughout Wisconsin. And this is just a step in the wrong direction for my community, for the state, and for race relations.
How do you, as a lawmaker, plan on having that dialogue in the state capitol building? Because you're right, this is one incident, and it is violent and terrifying for people, and yet it is one incident in a trend.
Well, we have to talk to each other, and I know before this pandemic hit, I'd had more listening sessions than any elected official in my area, bringing people together to talk about community problems. And we have to, we just have to do more of that. We have to understand each other. We have to work together. I don't know any other answers. Clearly, we need to be accountable for our actions, what the police have done. At the same time, you know, we have to realize we are all God's children, and we have to work together.
You're a Democrat. The Republicans have a majority in the state house. Is that constructive dialogue possible, do you think?
Well, I hope there's changes in this election coming up, quite frankly. And I hope the people send the message that we need change to the majority party. And I think that's one of the ways that we change things out there is at the ballot box. That's what John Lewis talked about. That's what Martin Luther King talked about. We have to send a strong message that we want change in policy, and I can't think of a better way than to elect more responsive people.
Bob Wirch is a Democratic state senator representing District 22 that includes the cities of Kenosha and Racine. He's running unopposed in November's election, and we're taking your calls for the state senator. The number is 1-800-642-1234. What do you want to know from him about his work in the state capitol? What do you think he should know about your life and how the decisions of lawmakers affect you? 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Senator Wirch, you've talked about wanting to fund body cameras for all county and municipal law enforcement officers in Wisconsin. It appears Kenosha sheriffs and police do not have body cams. Nearby Pleasant Prairie police have been using them for years. Why do you think body cameras would help cut down on police shootings?
Well, I believe that it would further accountability out there. It can vindicate police if their actions are proper and just. And it can also be a record if they have violated the law. And I think it should be uniform throughout our 72 counties out there. And let me say this, that there's a real economic problem in our state with this pandemic recession out there. There's going to be major budget problems on the state level, on the local level. And so I have advocated that this these body cams be paid for by the state. And, you know, in a tight budget, where are we going to get that money from? Well, I think we have to look at a partial repeal of the manufacturing and ag tax credit. Now, that's a tax credit that was, and I was there, slipped in the budget in the dark of night by the Republicans about 6-7 years ago, and I'll tell you who did it. It was, at that time, State Senator Glenn Grothman, who is now a congressman. It was slipped in with no public hearings. And to me, that was shameful. They waited till the last minute after the four public hearings were done, the end of the budget process, slipped it in at the last minute, the middle of the night, passed it. That's where I would take some of the money out of to pay for these body cameras, because it's going to be a tight budget. And so, once again, there's been $1 billion in that tax credit since it's been put in, and so there's adequate funding, and we need that to finance body cams so we have accountability for actions throughout all 72 counties of our state.
And that manufacturing and agricultural tax credit, it's available to people for income generated from manufacturing or agricultural property located here in Wisconsin. We're talking with State Senator Bob Wirch live with us on the State Capitol Report, and the lines are open. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Do you live in Kenosha or Racine or the surrounding area? How do you plan to vote in November? What are you weighing when trying to figure out who gets your vote and what is on your mind this morning that you think a state lawmaker should hear? 800-642-1234. Email ideas@WPR.org. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. What do you want state lawmakers to accomplish? How are you using that to figure out who gets your vote in November? And what do you want a member of the state legislature to know about your life right now? We've got State Senator Bob Wirch with us here on The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina. Your questions are welcome here on the Ideas Network. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call. And Bob Wirch is a Democratic state senator from District 22 in southeastern Wisconsin. He's running unopposed in the general election. And Brandy from Milwaukee is ready to talk with us this morning. Hi, Brandy.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, so I have a question. So listening to the senator speak early, a few minutes ago, the question I have is, how can the result of seeing time and time again law enforcement harm or kill innocent Black people, how can the end result be, let's look at our procedures, let's have law enforcement have all the time they need to research what's going on, when you can clearly see in most footages that the police are attacking, are killing people. As a Black person who's voted democratically consistently for quite some time, I will not vote for any Democrat that is going to be soft on this issue. There is a clear problem to police brutality is police and law enforcement. I think having a conversation about the procedures and processes is outdated. We need to have a much more radical response to the harm that's being done to our citizens. So my question is, what else can you offer besides prayer, time, and reviewing of the processes?
Brandy, thanks for the question. We really appreciate your call at 800-642-1234. Senator Bob Wirch, what do you have to say to Brandy?
Well, let's go back to the example of John Lewis. And it's a dogged determination, and you can change things through effort, getting the people involved. When I was young, the entire South was segregated from top to bottom, the city, state, local. And I understand that you want things changed right away, but they made tremendous change through nonviolent protest. And I've seen what happens when you don't have nonviolent protest. Then you get the strong law and order people in there, and you take two or three backward steps. So yes, change is slow, but we have to make sure we're moving in the right direction, because we have had counter moves in the past against peaceful protest. And I've seen that where they've gone against, they've simply enhanced the laws with penalties, severe penalties, and whatever. So the alternative is going in the wrong direction. I'd rather be going by the rule of law in a slow, sure way forward.
President Donald Trump responded to protests over the killing of George Floyd, over the killing of Breonna Taylor, by showing his support for law enforcement and police departments. How do you see that affecting voters in your district as November approaches?
That's going to be a big issue. That's going to be a big issue. I think you're going to see Democrats are going to push, as they did in their convention, listen to the people, let's work together. And you're going to see the Republicans push for law and order. I think it's going to be a replay of George H.W. Bush's campaign, where there was, they brought out Willie Horton. It's going to be a dirty campaign. So it's going to be law and order versus us working together. So there's a real chance we could move backwards. The stakes are high in this election.
In 2016, President Trump took Kenosha County by just 238 votes. This is a county that voted for former President Barack Obama in both 2008 and 2012. What does President Trump speak to in your district?
Well, I think that that's not going to happen again. First of all, I see good signs out there. I've watched a lot of elections. Let's remember, usually the Democrats are going to vote for a Democrat and Republicans are going to vote for a Republican. It's the people in the middle and that make the difference, because we have a history of close elections in this state. And I just see it as there's a lot of Republicans out there that say, I'm a Republican, but I don't like Trump. And we saw this in the spring election. We saw Trump came in and he endorsed Kelly for Supreme Court. Kelly lost, and there was a big drop-off in Republican votes in the WOW counties around outside of Milwaukee. And I think that's an indicator that people are against what the president is doing. You know, there's an old saying in politics, it's hard for a snake oil salesman to make a sale the second time through town. And I think Trump is a snake oil salesman, and he's going to have a real problem out there. People see that he did a poor job with the pandemic, and a lot of people have died out there, and they understand his poor performance out there. And he has a credibility problem, quite frankly. And I think the Washington Post is showing 20,000 lies. So he has a credibility problem. And I think the president loses moderate Republican votes out there. And I think he's going to lose a lot of independent votes, too.
Bob Wirch is a Democratic state senator whose district includes the cities of Kenosha and Racine. Still time for your call if you have a question or something you want to speak with him about. 800-642-1234 is the number you can use to do that. And Senator Wirch, I understand you're confident that your district won't go for the president again. And yet something about his ideals or what he said either motivated people to vote for him or to motivate enough Republicans to get to the polls. I mean, are there truths? Are there experiences that President Trump speaks to for people in your communities that need attention?
Yes, he speaks to frustration out there, people frustrated with the system. But he didn't have a record the last time he was out, and it's easy to criticize the system without a record. And I also think that you know, I'll be brutally honest about this. I'm a Democrat, but there were a lot of people in the middle that just didn't like Hillary Clinton, and they didn't like the Clintons, and there was a dislike factor in there that I noticed, too, that helped Mr. Trump.
Yeah. Joe Biden is now the official Democratic presidential nominee. He did not come to Wisconsin for the Democratic National Convention last week. He accepted that nomination virtually. Do you think that was a mistake?
I think you have to follow good health practices, and I think I like it that our candidate wears a mask. I think it's shameful that the President of the United States goes around not wearing a mask. I think that sets a poor example for the people.
We have just a bit of time left, and let's talk specifically in your district. The Kenosha Unified School District recently changed course on its original reopening plan. They were supposed to start virtually. Parents were not happy. Now students can go to in-person school next month. Do you think the science on school-age kids and COVID-19 is sound enough to make that kind of decision, or do you want to see broad policy?
Well, you know, I defer to local decision makers. I think they are elected, and they are close to more information than I am on that issue. Clearly, the thing that we all have in common is we want the safety of the students and we want education. But I believe in locally elected officials, in this case school board members, making the decision. And hopefully it'll play out that it's the right decision.
The statewide unemployment rate fell to just 7% last month. In June, it was 8.6. Some economists are still warning about a slowdown. Lawmakers in the state capitol haven't taken action to really address this pandemic since April. What do you want to see happening next?
Well, I think it's terrible that the Republican leaders have not called us in to address some of the problems out there. And they're more worried about the election, I think, than the pandemic out there. And, you know, what they're doing, my guess, is call people in after the election. I think that's the wrong thing to do. You will have people that have been turned away by the voters then voting and making decisions. And I think that's the wrong thing to do. But once again, this is right-wing ideology versus common sense.
What can you do about that?
Well, we can make our voice heard. I can educate my constituents and have them sound off about it. I think that the answer is how people vote and putting pressure on their elected officials.
Senator Wirch, thanks for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Bob Wirch is a Democratic state senator representing District 22 that includes the cities of Kenosha and Racine. He's running unopposed for the seat in the November election. Up next is news, then the state capitol report continues with a look at how the state might ease the burden of student debt here for people in Wisconsin. Stay with us. I'm Keeley Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Join us tonight at 8 for live NPR coverage of the Republican National Convention. We bring you the mix of live and virtual events planned as delegates are expected to confirm Donald Trump as their party's candidate for president. That's tonight through Thursday night, starting at 8 o'clock on Wisconsin Public Radio and online at WPR.org. Thanks for being with us this morning. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report, and we're talking about student debt and what Wisconsin can do to take some of the pressure off of people struggling to pay down college loans. The governor created a task force to figure out what the big problems are and to come up with solutions. And we've got the leader of the group live now to talk about what she's learned. And there's a line for you in this conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you see in other places you want Wisconsin to implement? What is your situation with student loans? How are you trying to figure it out? Share your story with us at 800-642-1234. Our guest is Kathy Blumenfeld. She's the secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Financial Institutions. The department regulates state chartered financial institutions and securities. Madam Secretary, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. One of the goals of this task force was to identify the causes of student debt in Wisconsin. What did you find?
Well, we amassed a group of 32 experts from around the state and really serving from government, industry, academia, and actual real live borrowers themselves so we could hear their stories. And what we learned is that the student debt is a huge issue in the state. So we've heard nationally $1.6 trillion of student debt exists, and in Wisconsin alone, over $24 billion. And really a big focus of ours was the disproportionate impact that low-income, minority, and more vulnerable communities have, that a lot of people have $10,000 in debt or less, and often haven't completed their education. So they don't have anything to show for that debt, yet they're carrying a big load that is very, very difficult to pay back. We've also seen a disproportionate impact in these communities in defaults as well. So a lot of focus from this task force really tried to find solutions that would help more vulnerable communities.
Well, and there are some things we should recognize about student loan debt disparities specifically related to race.
Absolutely. And so some of our recommendations, we actually considered 37 different proposals. And that was a big lift for this group, considering we got a late start due to COVID. And we narrowed those 37 proposals down to 8. But kind of think of it as a toolkit for the governor to use as he deliberates on his 2021-23 budget. He's got this huge toolkit of ideas, and out of that we came up with eight specific ones that the group, the task force, felt would be the most beneficial for the state to implement. And one thing to consider is that over 90% of student debt today is federal student debt. So obviously a big, we know the system is broken. We've all heard the stories of people that have been in public service loan forgiveness programs, and only less than 5% of the people that actually applied for loan forgiveness were granted it. So we know the system is broken in so many different ways. A big part of what needs to happen, too, is reform at the federal level. And the group also came up with a list of ideas that we can promote through advocacy at the federal level.
And we'll talk about some of those in just a moment. We are taking calls at 800-642-1234 as we talk with the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions, Kathy Blumenfeld, about student loan debt in Wisconsin and what a task force thinks that we can do about it. And we've got Steve from Sun Prairie ready to join the conversation. Good morning, Steve.
Morning. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, the elephant in the room here is that the cost of education has skyrocketed well above the rise of inflation. And I hear the guests talk a lot about maybe getting the federal government to pay for it, saying what the impact is on certain communities. But at the end of the day, it just costs too much. So what specifically is a task force doing to drive the cost down?
Steve, thanks for that question. We appreciate it. Madam Secretary.
We did look at college affordability in one of our eight meetings that we focused on. Obviously, a task force isn't going to be able to. The scope of the task force, really, we tried to focus on what we could do about debt today. But you're absolutely right. The cost of education has skyrocketed. And our focus really was on the student debt borrowers and how to prevent that in the future. But that is a big elephant in the room and something that needs to be looked at.
Sure. And when the cost of college goes up, as Steve's pointing out, then people who want to try to get college degrees maybe have to take on more debt to cover the cost of it. And then you wind up with more debt on the side when you're trying to figure out how to pay for it.
Right. And part of it is going in eyes wide open. So on the front end, some of our recommendations involve financial literacy education so that people understand what they're taking out. What is actually a loan versus a grant versus a scholarship? And making sure that there's a lot of education on the front end so people have a full understanding that it's very transparent. And then even while people are in school, to understand and have loan counseling, because oftentimes they continuously take out debt throughout college, not really adding up the totality of both the cost of school between tuition and books, but also living expenses. That's a huge part of total cost of education.
We've got Jim in Freedom who's ready to join the conversation. Hi, Jim.
Hello. I think we got to teach our kids to be more responsible. I've got four sons. Oldest one went 1 year to Stevens Point, realized he didn't want to go heavy in debt, joined the Air Force. Now he's coming out of Air Force, and he's going to get a free ride 3 years through college. He's going to be able to go to Madison for free. Second son decided college wasn't for him. He went 1 year to college, realized he was wasting his money. He's an entrepreneur. He's trying to do things on his own. The third son went to Platteville, worked at Quick Trip, didn't go on these expensive spring breaks that was using student loans. Some of the kids are using student loans to go on spring breaks, spending $2,000-$3,000 a year on these breaks. Just totally irresponsible. And my third son has decided he's going to go to UW Fox Valley. He'll be 2 years in college, no debt, because he's going to work part-time. Maybe these kids need to be taught to be responsible instead of just throwing money at them. I know one girl went 4 years of college, $100,000 in debt, and then she ended up working at Old Navy.
Yeah,
she
Jim, that's a really good point. Yeah, I understand. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And I want to make sure that Secretary Blumenfeld has an opportunity to respond to your concerns, Jim. Secretary Blumenfeld.
So absolutely. I think a big part of it is that education, both for students and parents on the front end, and making sure that they understand this debt and understand based on, you know, what is their final goal, their career goals, what would you get paid in that profession, and how does that relate? What would your monthly payments be based on the debt that you have? There are a lot of really good educational tools, and the Department of Public Instruction actually just released last month whole new standards in financial literacy and academic and career planning that will help teach this in the schools so that all students have access to this understanding before taking on the debt. And also, there are many, many organizations and student loan counselors and guidance counselors that are great resources for parents and families to go to understand this before they get into college. I agree. I mean, in my day, you could have a summer job and you could work a little bit through school and probably be able to come out with little debt. That's not the case today, and responsibility is a big part of it, but we also need to increase access and equity within our schools as well to make sure that we have education for all. So good comments, though. Thank you.
We've got Gary from Iron River who also wants to talk about this. Hi, Gary.
Hi, good morning, ladies. You hit one of my comments on understanding the difference of what a given degree can earn and what amount of loans that'll support. Part of the problem there is you don't have people, I believe, giving proper guidance. They're so busy in trying to get students to fill their schools that that's their prime interest. The second thing is the media always reports average earnings for college degrees, average earnings for high school graduates. There's more than a factor of two difference in the amount of earnings of a four-year degree, and the top third of high school graduates earn more than the bottom third of four-year degree people. And so by reporting only the average numbers without getting into the specifics, you don't give the true picture. Everybody assumes I get a college degree, I can make this amount more, and that's not right.
Yeah, Gary, thanks for that point. Secretary Blumenfeld, Gary's looking for more accurate information for people making decisions.
And there are some great tools that have been developed. The Consumer Protection Financial Bureau, there are a lot of nonprofits, and even the Department of Public Instruction has tools today that prospective students and borrowers can go into and actually pick the average salary for the type of career they want to go into and back into what their school, based on the school that they choose, would pick, and really run through the numbers so that prior to choosing that profession, you can go in, again, eyes wide open with what the total cost would. You can even put in emergency funds if your car breaks down. You can really project out the total cost of your education and really compare that then to the loans that you'll have and what that payment will look like. And that's a big part of, I think, the understanding piece that needs to happen at the front end of taking on education. I also agree there are excellent careers that are not just based on a four-year college degree.
Let me jump in here right now. State Secretary Kathy Blumenfeld chaired a task force looking at student debt, and she stays with us as we talk about recommendations from the group. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. In this edition of the State Capitol Report, we're talking about college debt relief with Wisconsin's Secretary of the Department of Financial Institutions. The department focuses on regulating finance and educating people in our state. Thanks for being with us on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and you're part of this conversation at 800-642-1234. We've got Secretary Kathy Blumenfeld, who chaired Governor Tony Evers' Student Debt Task Force, and Mary Kay in Kenosha is ready to join our conversation. Good morning, Mary Kay.
Good morning. I took out a loan in 2011, 2012, a very small loan, and I was lied to by the counselor. They said it was going to be a 1% to 2% payback rate. It's 35%. So that's the biggest problem. When you're getting counseled, they need to tell you how much you're going to have to pay back.
Mary Kay, thank you for that. And I'm so sorry to hear that was a switch for you. Secretary Blumenfeld, what about Mary Kay's situation? And what about this borrower's bill of rights that the task force talks about?
Right. One of the things that we heard a lot of in our listening sessions and from our borrowers is just situations like that. So I'm so sorry to hear that as well. Having a state ombudsman in student debt and a borrower bill of rights would really go after consumer protection around all forms of student debt. And it would be a central place for people to come, a trusted place for advice. One of the things that we heard loud and clear was that people didn't know who to turn to and who to trust, where the state would have only the best interest of the borrowers in mind and would be a place to get accurate and helpful information. So I'm really sorry to hear that as well. Having a trusted counselor would be helpful. On our website, too, lookforwardwisconsin.gov, you will also find a list of counselors that may be helpful for you to seek out right now.
All right. I appreciate that. Good luck, Mary Kay, with that. And I'm sorry to hear that happened. Secretary Blumenfeld, the task force wants the state to do more to crack down on private for-profit schools. How big of a role do these types of colleges play in our student debt crisis?
They play a fairly significant role, although things have improved over time. There is an opportunity for these for-profit institutions to take advantage of people, whether it's veterans or people taking out loans. They're making a lot of money on the lending side of their business. And we believe, the task force believes, that there needs to be additional oversight on these for-profit institutions.
And does the task force explain how the state could really do that?
So there's we do have a recommendation within the report. It looks at reinstating the Educational Approval Board, which was kind of broken apart a few years back, and providing more opportunity for regulating these for-profit institutions.
We're talking with State Secretary Kathy Blumenfeld, who chaired a task force looking at student debt here in Wisconsin. And we are going through some of the recommendations. There are eight of them that the task force put forward after meeting, trying to figure out what's causing the student debt crisis in Wisconsin and what we can do about it. Tell us how the task force wants to see the state use grants to support low-income and underrepresented students.
Sure. I think there was broad consensus over increasing the Wisconsin grant and targeted aid to help these underserved communities. So right now there is way more need than there is our funds to go around, and this is already an existing program. It's well respected. It's administered by the Higher Education Administration Board, and it is very effective in helping serve underserved communities. So adding more funds to the Wisconsin grant, and then also getting more students to complete the FAFSA. We have one of the worst records in the country for FAFSA completion at only 51%. We're like 37th worst state for FAFSA completion, and you've got to complete the FAFSA in order to be eligible for this grant, these grant funds. So really getting more emphasis on the completion rate for the FAFSA is another piece of it as well. And again, this ombudsman and borrower bill of rights would be that single point of contact in the state to be able to bring together all of these programs right now that are divided in seven or eight different state agencies.
Well, I mean, I have to say, it's been a while since I completed the FAFSA, so that's a fact. And I remember that it was cumbersome, that it was complicated, that there was information I needed for myself, but from my parents, and putting that all together was not easy. So there are kind of automatic barriers there with just how complicated some of these steps can be to find out how much aid you actually qualify for or where you might be able to find money to pay for school.
Right. And it has gotten a little bit easier. They did simplify it, but it still does involve parents, you know, providing their tax information, and not all parents are happy to do that. But it is a really important piece of getting people into the system and eligible for those grant funds.
Let's bring Rick from Elkhart Lake into the conversation. Hi, Rick.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question. I went to school at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in 1970, and it seems I remember that my first check that I wrote out for the semester was $205 or something like that. And now it's so much more expensive. I could make enough money working at a factory during the summer to pay for my tuition and room and board. And I'm wondering, was it so much cheaper or more affordable than because tax dollars supported our higher education systems at a, you know, much more higher rate? Or why is it so much more expensive now than it was then? And I'm just so grateful to whoever made it possible that I could attend the University of Wisconsin and come out with no debt, get a job during the summer and support my education. And I'm forever grateful whoever made that happen. Help
Rick,
make that happen.
Thank you for that call. And Secretary Blumenfeld, Rick's question really does play into student debt because of the college costs again. Was college just cheaper or more subsidized, or why are we in a student loan debt crisis now?
Well, the cost of college has certainly skyrocketed since the 70s when you attended as well. And it's our life is a lot more complex right now in all aspects, but certainly it has exceeded the, you know, rate of inflation. So that actually has to be part of the equation as well. And as I mentioned earlier to the caller, we spent one meeting looking at college affordability and the data because it informs student debt. But our focus was really more around trying to prevent student debt, help those borrowers while they're in school, and then providing relief for student debt borrowers as well through things like potentially refinancing, tax credits, targeted loan forgiveness for high need fields. So we really, in our short time between May and August, really couldn't tackle the entire college affordability piece of the pie, the piece of the equation. But I do agree with you that is a very important focus as well.
An increasing number of universities are offering discounts on tuition under pressure from students, families who say they should pay less for online instruction. Do you see that trend having a positive effect on student debt levels?
I think anything to bring down the total cost of education, you know, along with much greater awareness of what college costs and how to fund it and what the outcomes will be, will both have a very positive impact on future student debt. And I think most students going into schools right now are very aware of the situation at hand.
All right. I appreciate it. We have had Secretary Blumenfeld with us. Thank you so much for taking the time to go through some of what the report explains about your task force.
Great. Thank you for having me. Take care.
You too. Kathy Blumenfeld is the secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. The department regulates state-chartered financial institutions and securities. She chaired Governor Tony Evers' Student Debt Task Force, which came away with 8 recommendations for the state of Wisconsin to try to address student debt here in our area. And we have a link for those online. You can find it at WPR.org/mornings. That wraps up this edition of the State Capitol Report. Just ahead here on the morning show, we talk with a radiation oncologist to find out how cancer treatments are evolving because of COVID-19. Plus, we'll talk about how patients can cope during these uncertain times. I'm Keely Boltina. You're listening to the Ideas Network.